thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be with us here on the New Earth Podcast today. Super excited to have you join us. And we have a really interesting call today. A lot of you are probably joining from, you know, all over the country, and you're learning different things about the business. You're learning different things about New Earth. You're learning different things about healthy practice in your life. Today might be a really interesting day for you on the New Earth Podcast, because we're going to be talking to a devoted yogi, and that is a wonderful man named Gary Chatham. Lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and has become what many of you may already know on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google+, you name it. If there's a social media out there, he has definitely taken advantage of it and done a phenomenal job. It's a devoted yogi, and you can find him on Twitter at devoted yogi. He's become widely recognized and reputable with social media and developing social media personalities as well as his own. And the entire point is the specific aim to share remarkable healing and health benefits. So particularly through a dedicated and devoted practice of yoga. Really, really interesting man. He affects the lives of a lot of people. He has over connections to over 250,000 accounts globally. So take a look at the number of friends you've got on Facebook, and maybe the people that are following you on Facebook, and trust me, his life is really, really interesting. In fact, I think you actually, Gary, welcome to the call.
Hello.
And Gary, you actually have 359,000 followers?
On Twitter, yeah. Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. So I know folks are really excited to get to know you, get to know a little bit about your story, and maybe how that fits in with New Earth as well. So let's take it away.
Thank you. So, you know, I guess you could say the story in terms of yoga started a little bit over 5 years ago. A girlfriend of mine got me to take a Bikram yoga class, which I really did not like and never wanted to go back. But in an effort to work on a relationship as well as learn something new, I pushed ahead. And after about a week to 10 days, I had a chronic psoriasis. And it was the first time in years where all the psoriasis completely exfoliated off of my my body every day I went to the practice. So ultimately, that ended up to me doing 500 classes of hot Bikram yoga. It's a minimum of 105 degrees with a 40% humidity for 90 minutes. That would be like the conditions here in a Vegas studio. And I did 500 classes in 500 days. Now, during that time period, I did have, prior to that, walking in there, chronic back problems that started when I was 28. I started when I was 40 years old. And those chronic back problems just disappeared. It was as if they never existed. And my psoriasis during that time period probably receded about 90% off of my body. I stood over a half an inch taller. My waist shrank down to what it was when I was like 21, 22 years old. And I dropped 20 pounds, you know, probably in that first 7 months, 8 months. It was remarkable.
That is astounding. 500 Bikram yoga classes, hot yoga classes in 500 days.
Yeah, so that means I did take days off. Yes, I did get sick, but I doubled, tripled up, which I would not recommend unless you were, you know, in a premium condition. But yeah, I maintained that there. I had a strong community support, and you know, nothing helped my psoriasis. You know, 18 years of psoriasis, no pharmaceutical medicine, no diet alone or anything that I had tried up to that point was as effective as that hot Bikram yoga. And again, the back problems went away. I know I'm 45 now, and in my family, arthritis, I believe rheumatoid arthritis runs in there. It is a condition that is often follows people who have psoriasis later in life. I believe I've turned the clock by being able to take these corrective measures by keeping the body limber. And, you know, like, it doesn't have to be the expression of your grandparents in you anymore.
Wow.
And I guess, you know, how does New Earth fit in here? So at 500 days, you know, with the support of friends, trying to think of, you know, to share all this great yoga stuff that's going on, with the support of, again, my community, I launched A Devoted Yogi. And it took me a while to figure out what to do with it, you know. I started to maintain my social media presence. As you can see, you know, I was tracking my numbers and just being very diligent in my social media the way I am in my practice. And years later, you know, it blossomed like this. And as the numbers got larger, I was looking for a product or service or something that I could work with that I'd feel okay putting my name onto hundreds of thousands of followers. Ultimately, that led to 34 months of searching, which brought me to you and New Earth. Maybe we can get, you know, I guess it's a little long-winded, but so you heard the yogi part, but I went to college. When I went back into college, you know, I have an associate's in mathematics, biology, and chemistry. My degree is in environmental forest biology with an emphasis in ecology. You know, I was green back in the early 90s when they were making fun of people because I had a Dr. Bronner shampoo and so forth. So, you know, I've always been leaning in that direction, and I have been taking food supplements for, actually at this point I can say, yeah, I've been taking food supplements for 20 years. You know, I kind of got the concept a little bit back then. I was a little bit ahead of the curve on that.
Wow.
But I thought that background, that ecology background, might be really important. Because I saw your company as an ecologically viable company. It had a business model that could involve additional people. The product quality was nothing but top-notch. But, you know, we're not impacting the balance sheets of nature in a negative way, and by the way in which business is conducted here at New Earth. That was one of the big attractive points that enabled you to go through the sorting process and ultimately, you know, me enthusiastically signing up.
Well, so Gary, that is a ton of really interesting information in a very short moment. So let's backtrack a little bit. Let's unpack some of that. What led you to yoga in the first place? And particularly what I'm interested in is that dedication to say, okay, I'm going to do this hot yoga or Bikram yoga for 500 straight days. Like, not a lot of people stick to promises like that, even though they're to themselves, right? How did that come about, and how did you stick with it? That's over a year and a half, isn't it?
Yeah, close to a year and a half. In the beginning, as funny as it sounds, I had bought 2 1-year memberships. Maybe 2 weeks into it, 15 days into it, and I experienced buyer's remorse. And there was no way that they were going to make all that money off of me without me getting some value from it. But around 30, 35 days into the practice, it became easier. I wanted to be there. Nothing had helped my psoriasis like that. You know, I think at that point I'd been contending with, 18 years of it. And probably at the end of 30 days, it was the healthiest the skin had been in probably about 13, 14, 15 years. You know, there was this progression. And then it was slow afterwards. But it was remarkable to see in that window. So it started out as almost like anger and buyer's remorse. And then 30, 35 days, they say, like, you know, the light or like maybe the spirit or something comes into you. At that point, like, I felt like I was a yogi after 30 days or so forth. They say, you know, what do you do something for like 3 weeks or 30 days and you have that habit, it kind of becomes part of you. And that 30-day, 35-day period felt like my initiation into the light of yoga. And from that point, it was much easier to go.
Now from there, so you'd just gotten started and you saw some results quickly and you definitely were devoted, right? And I love that reasoning. You know, they are not going to get one over on me. I will get my money's worth out of this. That's great. Now, what is the difference between someone who goes to yoga and maybe participates or practices, right, and a yogi?
So someone who goes to yoga might be someone who is just getting introduced to it. I would think of a yogi as maybe more of the lifestyle. You know, not to say I won't go out and have a glass of wine or taste some fantastic new cocktail on the menu, but you might think about how that would affect your practice the next time you're going to be in the room. You know, it's a lifestyle. You know, you can come in there and you can prepare in subtle ways to make your practice more beneficial to you. Someone coming to do yoga, sometimes it could be confused as yoga is an exercise. But like yoga is the introduction to maybe we could say the yogi lifestyle. My wife and I talk about yoga, and maybe a slogan that we like to promote is yoga for life.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yoga for life.
Yeah.
And it's simply because it works, you know. And how many – so you've worked with a lot of people for quite some time in their own visions of where they want to go in their lives and helping them get on the yoga train, if you will, to find some of those same benefits that you have found. What would you say is the difference between success and failure for those folks?
I think maybe I want to be able to phrase this the right way. Between success and failure. Sometimes you may have to shop around to find the right studio or community that is going to work for you. You know, if you're going to really go along with your practice, you're going to see these people and these teachers all around. And there should be a certain, I guess, energy. We can't say all studios are equal. And there are different communities for different people and different levels. I would think that especially for somebody starting new, there's a teacher. You know, you'd want to talk to the teachers and see who you feel comfortable with to be able to help them express you and your practice. You know, I started out in Bikram yoga. I'm a big advocate of hatha yoga in general. You know, and everybody has different skills and talents. And there's yin yoga, which is a softer, more recovery, restorative-oriented yoga. The individual would have to just find the place and an area that resonates with them. Because you want to go, you know, at some point, you're going to be there regularly. If you were going three times a week, you know, at the end of a year, you might be seeing different people down there 100, 150 times. You just would want to make sure you're plugged in the right community that reinforces the positive values you would need for your practice, you know.
Yeah, and then engage. You take it, you know, very seriously and commit like your name states, a devoted yogi, right? You need to devote yourself to it before you abandon it.
Yeah. And I mean, and it doesn't, people can do 20 minutes at home in their bathroom if they need to close the door and they have a busy life. You know, I posted videos at my YouTube channel that are short as 20 minutes. I anchor videos that we approve of, that people could go do as little as 20 minutes at home, you know, moving the body, even if it wasn't yoga, we could get them out to walk around for 20 minutes three times a week. We'd want that dedication and devotion. We would accept that, and we think that would begin the path to wellness and recovery for some people.
New Earth University is just over a month away. We'll be hosting our next event at the Running Y Ranch in Klamath Falls, Oregon, on July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Seats are filling up fast. Reserve your spot today and join us for a weekend filled with training, inspiration, fun, and adventure. Find out more at www.newearth.com/events.
So now you talked also about the timing that it took. So when you and I first met, wasn't that long ago, it was I guess a year or so? Is that accurate?
Just a tad over a year.
Yeah. Yes. And when we first met, You had been looking at a lot of companies. You are very deeply into nutrition, and what you put in your body is just as important as what you do with it. And so you'd looked at a lot of different places. Tell me a little bit about that journey, and how long did it take?
So when Devoted Yogi was launched, it took me 34 months to essentially carry a product line, which was the New Earth product line. I looked at various different types of affiliate programs, work at home, as well as network marketing companies. I can't tell you how many companies that I looked at. And I was a little, you know, maybe I'm a little more hard on the average network marketing company. You know, we have, of course, today, you know, certain affiliate programs to help people with, you know, social media and ease the time that it takes to do that. But like the core nutrition line is New Earth. I mean, we were introduced into it, introduced in January of 2015. We met you in April. It took a couple weeks to process the information. And then we launched, I believe it was like May 10th or May 11th last year.
So 34 months of looking for the right company with the right products and the right motivations. And then once you found New Earth, really 5 months to make sure that we were on the level.
Yeah, I saw the food supplements help a friend of mine who wasn't sick. You know, that's a fairly common story in the industry. But yeah, it was profound. And she was telling me all these different things. And, you know, certainly algae with my background, it caught my attention. And I gave my friend Melissa a really hard time over the whole situation there because I didn't want to talk to anybody. You know, as you found out through my questions.
They were definitely limiting, right? There was a door, and if you didn't make it through the door, that was it. Now let's take this to the next step. You have quite a following in social media. I mean, you have 359,000 followers on Twitter. You have, let's see, I don't know how many it is on Facebook, but it's a few thousand on Facebook, and another like almost 10,000 on Google+. And I mean, you name it, you're there as a devoted yogi. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you get that started, and how do you make that successful?
How did I get that started? My friends encouraged me to share the message. And along the way, you know, there's always, it's funny, you know, somebody comes in, maybe shows you one trick or one tip. And I had a friend come in and show me a tool. He's an author, published author. And he says, hey, I'm going to show you how I build all my Twitter followers here. And he showed me this program and how to use it. And, you know, with my background, the day after he left, he helped me get like, I don't know, like 300 followers in a day on the Twitter, and I think it was, you know, it was probably 2013 or 2012 or something like that. He turned around, it was in December, and he showed me, and then he left. And then I went back and I looked at what he showed me, and I learned how to change the settings. And by changing the settings on the program, I was able to get better results, and that kind of started me. I said, oh, this is how you do it. And I was doing everything, shooting all my posts organically and different things like that. But as time went by, I saw what social media managers did. And it took about the same amount of time to be able to put it into a buffer system. And maybe you could even spend more time making it look like cool content or tagging it or investing yourself into the article so you know what you're posting. And then you drop it in the buffer and it can post on multiple networks. So maybe when I post something on Twitter, I'm able to pin it on Pinterest and put it on my Google+ business page at the same time. You know, or if I post, I have an article that's really good, I can post it on my personal Facebook page, my business profile on LinkedIn, as well as a business page, you know, if it meets certain criteria.
Right.
So it's just being able to take the same time and use it more skillfully and allowing technology to do the work for you. I've been doing this now for 3.5 years.
Wow. So you have a ton of followers now in a
yes.
bunch of different areas. Now, content matters.
Yes.
Right? Now, this is, I know that the listeners right now are saying, well, I've tried that, and I've tried doing things like that, and nobody clicks like, or nobody reshares my videos or things like that. Tell us a little bit about how you behave yourself in these social medias, right? How do you still remain a devoted yogi and, you know, commit to this kind of development and building a fan base, and at the same time not drive people crazy and push them away from your page?
That's kind of a good question. I think they naturally sort themselves because, yeah, I do push people away from my page. It naturally happens. If you don't have people coming after you not liking your stuff, you haven't done it long enough. It's maybe one of the subtler signs of achievement if you don't have some people out there trying to detract from you. Now, the counterbalance is they give you excellent opportunity and time to make your point. And long as you are civil, respectful, and cordial, it's really hard to lose even if you're wrong. Because, you know, when somebody resorts to name calling, isn't that an unfair debate tactic?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So, you know, when somebody turns around and says something like that, I mean, maybe I could bring this up here. You know, our favorite company, Monsanto, out there, and I've posted different posts regarding labeling. My stance would be on a novel, unique, non-ordinary, patented product. Why wouldn't we have a label denoting its unique origin as opposed to something that was naturally cultivated? You know, we label everything. It would be like getting Intel and not knowing what was inside or the specs, or at least that's mine. And I've had viewpoints on that where people have come and tried to maybe attack me on that. And you can just go and look in some of the public databases, which I have referenced, and I have an ongoing feed that promotes these peer-reviewed articles that show that counter viewpoint that's not necessarily always available in the mainstream media.
So if I'm picking up correctly, there are some people, go ahead, let them walk away. That's fine. They're not into it. But you also tend to stay fairly on message. You are who you are, who you are. And because you know who you are, everything that you're posting that is of interest to you is generally of interest to the people that follow you, right?
It would seem that way, yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. What kind of things, how do you know what you want to put up there? I mean, because I imagine there's a little bit of, you know, science involved, or at least thoughtful consideration involved. How do you decide what goes up and what doesn't go up? And when promoting New Earth, how do you keep it from looking too, well, the slimy business model that nobody likes, right? How do you keep it from looking or feeling that way?
So we have two different questions here. So the first one, maybe if I were to come down to the razor's edge, if it promotes the UN Declaration of Human Rights and people to question their culture and what they think they know, I would lean in that direction at all times. And with New Earth, I post photos of things on there, and I have my genuine story behind it. I mean, this here for you and myself will be ongoing content in the stream that will be shared for years to come.
Yeah.
They'll say, way back when.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's powerful.
If it's good content, it's worth resharing down the road.
Right. So now you have a lot of stuff that you produce yourself. You take a lot of photography. You do a lot of poses. In fact, one of the posts that caught me off guard, and yet I totally agree, you had a post about some of the more difficult positions, yoga positions, for men, right?
Yeah.
And that actually wasn't content that you created. That was content you had gleaned from other places, right? So how much of it is your content uniquely produced, and how much of it is coming from other places?
I would probably say as low as 10 to 15% is uniquely produced by myself. And I take in content from other places. I like Yoga Journal. I like Yoga Dork. I respect Iyengar. I think Ashtanga rocks. But sometimes you have to go with a more soft approach to be able to reach a wider audience. So I'm going to share stuff from over there and say Yoga Journal is great. And that's mainstream yoga, but that's not as at maybe the same level of dedication, devotion, belonging to a community or group of people you regularly practice with for months or years of your life to get that inner light. That's almost more like a pop culture yoga. And there's great value in there as it brings people into the deeper levels of knowledge and understanding with yoga. I mean, I started out with yoga, but devoted yogi was just yoga. Today, devoted yogi is yoga, meditation, and nutrition.
I like that. Now, that's the other thing that I actually like about some of what you've posted. You have yoga by day. How does that go? Yoga by day and
food server by night.
Food server by night in Los Angeles. And here's Las Vegas, rather. And the thing that I love about that is you really are very careful. Very careful about what you put into your body. Tell us about this long-term practice and yoga and how that has adjusted your food choices. Why is New Earth acceptable to you for someone of your standards?
So maybe we can start with the standards there. You know, when possible. Because, you know, I do work as a food server, and in Vegas you do have uncommon Epicurean opportunities. But I generally try to eat organic, non-GMO whenever possible. You know, starting with things like that, and then of course with a product that is minimally processed, non-GMO, organic. It just resonated already with what I felt, and the convenience of being able to actually, you know, take some of those packets with you. Like if I go to work, or, you know, last week, actually it was 2 weeks ago, I got to go to a tasting, and convenience of food supplements or digestive enzymes is actually was an unexpected benefit of the products.
Wow, that's very cool. So how did you get into that? Now, you talked a little bit about your educational path, right? So mm-hmm. Have you always been very careful about what you eat, what you put in your body?
An Amway water filter salesman, like an upline, had said to me, if you don't have a water filter, you are the filter. And I'd already been using the Dr. Bronner shampoo and alternative like, you know, personal hygiene products and so forth. I did have an experience where I was getting to read the MSDS sheets on chemicals, and I looked up things that were in common household products. And even the company that I was with at the time, I stopped using some of their products. And yeah, I kind of been like this a little bit longer than the general populace. I was slightly ahead of the curve because of, again, you know, I was an environmentalist background in college, you know.
Yeah,
they called me a tree hugger and a bunny hugger.
A tree hugger and a bunny hugger, and now tree huggers. That's a good.
They're sexy today.
It's sexy to be a tree hugger now, and previously they were thought of. Wow, you know, look at those crazy tree huggers. Well, lad, look who's crazy now, huh? Look who's going to live long and live well now. It's kind of funny how movements turn like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So I'm fascinated by that comment, though. That's really funny. If you don't have a water filter, you are the filter. And now, today, I would submit that the same is true with your food.
It's absolutely, it was the same thing. It was just an application of that. And actually, let me comment on that water filter. When I got that water filter, I was living in Brooklyn, New York. I was teaching high school. This had to be around 96 or 97. And when I got that water filter, I stopped drinking Snapple iced teas and I started carrying water bottles around me. And the interesting thing was that I no longer needed the psoriasis medication to take the pain away from my elbows and knees. It was the first hints that diet had something to do with it, but it was through the water filter because I reduced my sugar intake and I started hydrating myself. All of a sudden, I didn't need as much pharmaceutical medicine, you know, and I was concerned even back then about the long-term and unknown side effects of products that hadn't been tested on humans for 30 or 40 years.
Wow, that's fascinating, yeah. So it's a good point.
Have a chemistry degree, you'll see things differently.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes all the way back to there. You started seeing a benefit to your psoriasis just by the water you drink.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and we definitely recommend that people stay hydrated. If you're not hydrated, getting the right food into your body probably won't be as beneficial as it could be unless you're hydrated, right?
How could you derive the full benefits of what you're ingesting?
Yeah, you couldn't. You definitely couldn't. Well, Gary, I really, really appreciate it. And I definitely appreciate everything that you have said regarding New Earth. I know that you are highly, highly selective of whom you work with. And it's a pleasure to know that New Earth actually fits in to your paradigm and into your world and into a devoted yogi.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Thank you very much, Gary Chatham, for participating in the New Earth podcast today. I really do appreciate it. And all of you that were listening, I hope you got some benefit out of his words of wisdom and maybe some of his experience in building a phenomenally New Earth story. Now, Gary, before we leave you, I think we have a really cool announcement. You are going to be helping with yoga for New Earth University. Is that correct?
Indeed. Yes, that is correct.
I'm super excited about this. I have already gotten a lot of people asking. And from what I believe, we'll be starting New Earth University a little bit different for all of those that choose to participate. I think is it 7 or 7:30 every morning? And I'll make sure that this gets posted and promoted. But join Gary Chatham every morning of New Earth University. So definitely you're going to want to be there for the Friday and Saturday. And maybe you'll get the chance to talk to him a little bit, ask a few questions, as well as be put through your paces. I don't think it's going to be hot yoga.
No.
Nope. But
it's going to be entry level yoga, and you know, maybe how somebody can take that or some of this knowledge, be able to apply it at home and find a way they can develop their own personal yoga practice.
I think personally that just in those 2 days we have an opportunity to help change some lives. So I really appreciate you doing that with us, Gary, and look for it. New Earth Yoga before New Earth University with Gary Chatham. Thanks again. We will talk to you again on the next episode. And thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.